It is time for another edition of Mike McFeely Outdoors on the mighty 790 KFGO on this Saturday morning, just ahead of Bison football. Sorry, Bison football.
Just go with NDSU.
Down in Brookings, South Dakota against the hated Jackrabbits. No, they're not really hated.
They should be.
Why?
Because they're from South Dakota. We can hate them.
Okay.
I'm an NDSU graduate. I'm a proud NDSU graduate, and I'm one of those guys that hopes that UND never wins another game in anything. I hope their golf team never wins, their cross-country team doesn't win anything, just
shank
across
it.
The board.
Shank it, Noonan.
That's right.
Hit it out of bounds. He's at Lear's up behind trees. Well, not at King's Walk. He's at behind trees at other golf courses, heckling UND golfers.
That's right. That's right.
Doug Lear, by the way, joins me in studio this morning. Thanks for that. But on my radio show the other day on KFGO, I brought up the idea. I said, okay, I'll give free KFGO swag to anybody who can call in and tell me why they just can't stand South Dakota State.
Yeah.
Crickets chirping were incredibly loud.
Well, they're our rival.
No, that's not the point. Why are they your rival? Why?
Right.
Nobody could come up
with
that.
And even bigger, when you cross over into like the outdoors, into wildlife management and biologists, South Dakota State churns out a lot of game wardens and a lot of, I've got a lot of friends that I went to. Here's kind of how the pipeline works in some areas is you go to Botnell, you go to junior college in Botnell, and then a lot of the people that leave Botnell go on and get their four-year degree at either NDSU or South Dakota State. That's just kind of, so it's tough to really hate when I've got a lot of coworkers that went to South Dakota State University that I enjoy.
I kind of like Brookings, and I kind of like that area of South Dakota, and I have no problems with anybody at South Dakota State. But that's just me. Let's talk some outdoors. A lot of things going on, Doug. The non-resident waterfowl season opener is today, I believe. And whenever I think of the non-resident waterfowl opener, I think of, was it 15 years ago now? Maybe more than that. Maybe 20 years ago? When was when the big fight was going on?
Oh,
between the residents and non-residents, and some guys were trying to keep out Minnesotans, and there was a big fight going on.
Well, in some annals of history, the fight has been going on forever,
and the fight
will never end.
Correct.
There was a lot of tug of war going on in the 70s over non-resident waterfowl hunting in the Devil's Lake Basin and in that region, and then it seemed to maybe have toned down for a while, and then it started to crank back up in the mid-90s, the late 90s, and into 2000 when you had hunter pressure concepts and a lot of legislation, a lot of political back and forth. I was, you know, not necessarily in the middle of it personally, but professionally and in my work, hearing a lot of it going on. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I know you were, you know, working in that area
as
well, that it wasn't just simply between resident and non-resident hunters and North Dakota game and fish biologists and wildlife managers, that it had kind of, you know, risen all the way to the top, like governors administrations were in this, right?
Yes. Oh, Hovind was the governor at that time, and it was a huge legislation. There were legislators who were trying to protect their turf and their huntings. It was just a...
I hope we didn't open that can of worms today, Mike.
No, we're fine. I'll say this, and then we'll talk about actual 2013 non-resident waterfowl season. Anytime, and I mean anytime, you get politicians involved with biology, good luck to y'all, because it just doesn't work. Because you have guys in the state legislature in any state. I'm not picking on Bismarck, but if you get legislators involved in any state trying to figure out biological duck numbers, pheasant numbers, goose numbers, deer numbers, you're done. You may as well just hang up your shotgun and quit, because when those blowhards get involved, you're not going by science. You're going by partisan politics. You're going by local politics. You're going by emotion. You're going by, wait, that's where I hunt. Wait a second. You're going by personal selfishness. off my soapbox. Let's talk about the 2013.
Well, and I can't just let that go without a little bit of added comment because, again, from the perspective of a hunter, whether from Minnesota or from North Dakota or a biologist from North Dakota, to understand that when you have legislation that is black and white on paper and then you go beyond with, well, yeah, that's the way it looks on paper, but to understand how it impacts people in the field is just a whole nother level, which is where you just put it so concisely, emotion. And that's what it draws out. That's what goes into it. And there's a lot of emotion, even on Thursday, when some people, this is not my term, this is what some people will send me text messages and call me, you got to go out to I-94, the great boat parade has begun. They're coming in. And that's the hunter terminology for the non-residents who typically hunt more frequently from a boat and from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, that'll be traveling into North Dakota. And quite frankly, it starts on Wednesday or Thursday and goes through Friday and into Saturday. And the Great Boat Parade, as they refer to it, is just the typical seasonal migration of hunters following in as this morning opened up the non-resident waterfall season in North Dakota.
And my response to those people would be, sit along Highway 10 on any Friday afternoon from May 15th until Labor Day and watch the Great Boat Parade go from Fargo or Valley City or Grand Forks out to Detroit Lakes and take up space on all those lakes out there and catch fish and take them back across the border into North Dakota. That would be my response to that as a Minnesota resident.
And even going beyond that, just the factual aspect that I remember as a kid, you know, every like once a year we'd go down to a Vikings game and it was just phenomenal. The North, it's probably still the same way of the number of people from that travel down to go to Vikings games. And on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, they're driving back the other direction. So we're drawn to what we enjoy. And the fact of the matter is what South Dakota is to pheasant hunting or was, what Minnesota is to ruffed grouse hunting is what North Dakota is to waterfall hunting.
Yes.
This is where people go to hunt ducks and geese, and it's not simply just Minnesota. It's people from really all across the land travel to North Dakota because they like to shoot ducks. And quite honestly, just in a matter of emotion going from it, is that we still have people that like to duck and goose hunt from North Dakota. But over the course of the last 15 years, the Canada goose population has absorbed a lot of attention from North Dakota hunters.
Yes.
There's not as many. I know people listening are saying, you're wrong, Lear, you're wrong. But you just go by what you hear and see in the cafes and the gas stations and the watering holes. North Dakota waterfall hunters go out first for Canada geese, and not as many of them say, let's go out and shoot teal this weekend. It just doesn't happen.
Well, and we're going way too far into this, but part of with the more flexible or more open goose seasons, there's been some panache taken away from the duck hunting for North Dakota residents. Don't you think that it used to be, by God, I couldn't wait for the duck opener. Man, you know, people are chomping at the bit. You can now shoot geese like on July 3rd. So
not quite.
But you know what the point I'm making is you get to shoot waterfowl and get the shotguns out and get out in the field a month ahead of the duck opener to shoot geese. And oh, by the way, it's never easy to shoot geese. But I see a lot of photos on Facebook and every place else. The guys who know what they're doing, it's easy to shoot a lot of geese. So they get to, this isn't the right term, but they get to get their kills out of the way and kind of get excited about waterfowl hunting. So that shooting a 4-ounce teal, this isn't that big of a deal anymore.
And I think what you do see is the people, again, whether they're hunters from Fargo or Fairmont or Farmington, is what they are drawn to for the waterfowl is the duck boats, the decoys, and the small slew. That's what waterfall hunting is. It's more of the totality of the experience rather than, and I'm just saying it factually, rather than the other mindset or the other hunter philosophy is let's go out into a stubble field, set up a few Canada goose decoys, and shoot some big honkers. That's the divide. And we don't have, you know, maybe as much interest in getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and finding your way out to the slough and putting on the spotlight on the head and getting the decoys out there, getting the duck boat and the blind ready to go. And there are still people that really just love that. And they love a cloudy, rainy, windy morning. Then there's people that say, you know what? I'd rather just go out about 8 o'clock in the morning, set up a few Canada Goose decoys, be dry, shoot some big birds, and get my fill that way.
And one more thing, I have to take a break. And don't discount the numbers factor in goose hunting. That you can, I see, and that's fine. I mean, it's all legal. It's all whatever you want to do. I'm not bashing anybody. But I see an awful lot of posts and I get an awful lot of text messages to me personally saying, oh, shot 30 today. Oh, shot 25 today. There's a numbers game involved too. That's fine. But Doug hit it exactly right that there are still, quote unquote, old school waterfowl hunters who want to row their rowboat into some cattails, get set up with their dog, pour their cup of coffee out of their thermos, and just sit and wait for ducks to come in. Like it used to be back in 1955. And I would tend to go more to that camp than the I need to shoot 27 Canada geese today, but that's just me. Need to take our first break. Wow, that was kind of fun. We'll talk about perch next. Creel survey in on Devil's Lake. Jeff Katzer touched on it some last week. He must have got the numbers behind the scenes. I can't seem to find the numbers personally, but I see them in other media. So we'll talk about that next right here on KFGN. It's a good thing.